Good afternoon. So let me ask you just a couple of questions so I know where your mind is at. How many of you are already starting a business now? Are in the process? How many have already legally established the company? Okay, good. How many have a business idea that they want to start, but they haven't gotten it up yet? Okay, good. So this just gives me a little bit of an idea. This is the workshop, obviously, that talks about how to start a business, how to start a business, the Adventist way. It's somewhat practical. I'm just going to give about 20 minutes or so an introduction, a little bit about my personal story, and then the 10 questions that I got together that would be very important that I wish somebody had told me to ask before I started my business or these different companies that I've been involved in. So these are probably, I'm sure there's many other questions to ask, but it just gives you a good start. So let's go into this. I'm Jesse, as you know. I grew up in Switzerland. Both of my parents are not so much into entrepreneurship, so I had actually no clue about this. I was into music. Actually, I was a drummer, not too much involved in anything. I didn't know what the Adventist Church believed. I went to church every Sabbath, though, but mostly excited about doing the concerts in the evenings with the jazz bands and the hip-hop bands. Even my brother, who's here now also, we did a lot of these kind of things. So coming from that, I got really thrown by accident, I got thrown into the deep end, into the Philippines, and somebody said, hey, let's go to the Philippines and do an evangelistic campaign. And I only heard the first part of that sentence, and so I ended up in the Philippines. And then when I got there, I came over and I saw this 3-meter, like 3-yard banner with my picture on it, and it said Prophecy Seminar by Evangelist Jesse Zwicker. Now I'm a drummer, okay? I've never preached in my life. I didn't know what prophecies were, you know? And so suddenly, I'm stuck. You know, I go to the pastor, it's like, hey, what are we doing here in the Philippines? I thought this was like a adventure, you know? This is an adventure. We're going to do an evangelistic event. Here's some sermons, you know, these share him pre-written sermons. Just read these before you go there and preach, all right? So I'm like, sure, I'm used to being on stage, let's go. Just I'm used to being behind the drum set, you know. Anyway, so I got there, and this is actually where I was introduced to the gospel. Okay, it was so exciting. I started preaching these 27, it was back then, 27 fundamental beliefs. Every evening about the 7 seals and about the 2300 day prophecy and all this stuff. And I couldn't count it. You know, I mean, it was really an interesting experience. But I got so excited about it that I started making baptismal appeals. And people were coming forward to get baptized. And I was not even baptized, okay? And I wanted to actually jump in and get baptized with them. But the pastor there didn't allow me to get baptized with the people. He said it would look a little weird. So I got baptized 6 months later in Switzerland. You know, in Switzerland, you have to plan everything at least 6 months ahead of time for you to get baptized or anything like that. So anyway, so from there, the Lord jumped me from that kind of an experience. I had been offered a scholarship to go and study drumming in Berklee College of Jazz in Boston. But then because of this experience, the last thing I wanted wanted to do now was drumming, okay? I wanted to be working for God for the rest of my life, full time, in something. And so I ended up at a mission school. By the way, if you haven't gone to a mission school, go to a mission school. It'll change your life. And I went to this mission school, and they taught me that there is a thing called self-supporting ministry work. And I'm like, what in the world is that? And so they started sharing how all talents can be used in God's work. And so anyway, but I had still some weird ideas. But anyway, I teamed up with a friend from Honduras, and he said, hey, let's go to Honduras. Let's go to my place, you know, he was saying, here on the right, Jose. I got this property donated. Come and help me. So I ended up being... I ended up at 19 years old, you know, I dropped out of college, and ended up in Honduras, in the jungle, starting this ministry, starting a church, you know, doing Bible work in Spanish, and I didn't even know a word of Spanish, and then going into, we started a little mission school there, and then an elementary school, which today has 130 kids in the program, and then we got into entrepreneurial stuff. We started getting into a lifestyle center, and then into a processing plant for fruits, and selling to juice companies, and then starting to do evangelism with those customers. So I realized from this whole past, in the beginning of the project, my mindset was, I am now a poor missionary, and ASI people need to donate a bunch of money to us so that we can do the work, right? And within about a year, it transformed my mind by reading Ellen White, praise the Lord, to realize that actually entrepreneurship, or actually mission, is entrepreneurship. Mission is doing entrepreneurial stuff. And I realized that this is actually what I loved about mission work, is working for God full time, and at the same time being able to live off of it, and at the same time being able to reach a lot more people, because the things are entrepreneur based. They're actually the service that we produce is actually a generating program, so that you don't have to depend on donations and you can actually scale. So I really enjoyed that. What I realized in my mindset was the barrier that I had was that I thought that money was evil. Money was a selfish thing that I needed to try to get away from as much as possible, and trying to accumulate wealth and so forth is a real selfish worldly endeavor. But what I realized is that this is actually not biblical, but rather, it comes from the medieval time period, where they taught that spirituality means poverty. So the more spiritual you are, the poorer you are, the more money you then give to the church. I mean, this was a business model, if we're talking about a business model. And so, finally, the most spiritual people, who are they? Monks. Right? Monks. And the monks had a vow of poverty. Exactly. And so this was the concept that the medieval church put together. And I just, this historian, Max Weber, he actually wrote a book on this, the impact that this mindset had, and that the Protestant Reformation changed that mindset into, this is not true, that money is actually a God-given gift that we are to use for the advancement of the work. And so he shows this even on a map that you can see, where there's predominantly Catholic countries also have an economic impact, or they're poorer in general than Protestant countries. And we can tell this the strongest, obviously, in South America versus North America. It's very, very clear. You know, North America is a very Protestant country, and you can tell the difference. Also, same with North Europe, which is predominantly Protestant, and Southern Europe there with the yellow and the the green. So it's really strong how the mindset really determines where you end up in life. And then I came to this shocking quote. And this is actually what convinced me that this is really biblical. I wouldn't believe that this is what Ellen White would write, but this is what she wrote. It shocked me. The desire to accumulate wealth is an original affection of our nature, implanted there by the devil himself. That's what I thought. That's honestly what I thought. But it's not. It's implanted. The desire to accumulate wealth is implanted there by God himself, by our Heavenly Father. And listen to this. This is really the most important point. What's the last part? For noble ends. It's not for us. It's not for us to spend on ourselves, but it's to advance the work of God. Amen? Man, if we could just get this right, if we had gotten this right 100 years ago, man, the work would have taken off like crazy. So hopefully we can get this right now. Okay. Now it's not going forward. Oops. Okay, I'm all the way at the beginning. So mission is entrepreneurship. If you have started a project, if you've done any mission, you know that reaching people is exactly entrepreneurship. This is what we all want to do in entrepreneurship, is trying to find product market fit, right? How do we bring our product to the people? Our pioneers, if you look at all the biographies of all of our pioneers, how we advanced the work in the past, the last 150 years, it's all because of their entrepreneurial, inventive experiences. Kellogg designing and inventing hundreds of products. Most of the machines that we have in our gyms and so forth, this is all invented by Kellogg, you know, based on Ellen White's writings. And all of these guys, wherever they went, they always started a project. They always started a printing press. They always started a sanitarium. They always started some kind of a business to advance the work of God. So I believe that this is really what we're called to do. When I was I was a missionary for about 10 years, and then I continued to being a missionary, but an entrepreneurial missionary. So we started this company here called Crosslingo for translating, professional translation for Christian and also other organizations translating. We started with $11 for our website. And within a day, we got two jobs that were over $10,000. And so we essentially didn't have to have any money to start the business. So there's many, many opportunities, like what Daniel was sharing this morning. Where's Daniel? Anyway, what he was sharing, there he is. What he was sharing this morning is there's many opportunities for doing ministry and doing business without large capital and so forth. So based off of the translations, which was a major burden for me, was, hey, most languages do not have access to Ellen White. And I shared this last night. I'm sure you heard about Ellen for All. Were you there? Who was there? Okay, so you know about it. It's a spin-off. It's like a tech. It's a tech startup where we crowd translate. We create this software for crowd translation, and so we're working with the White Estate to allow anyone to go and translate Ellen White's writings into their language. And so, to me, this is like just one of these examples of how we do startups, how we do entrepreneurship, but really for the benefit and the advancement of the work of God. So, from here, we started a project called Hive Camp. Who knows of the Beehive Vision of Ellen White? Okay, man, you got to read it. Put in your app, Beehive, and then read these quotes, okay? This is really important. We started this conference based on this Beehive vision, where she saw how to reach the cities with different entrepreneurial endeavors, working all together to create this beehive of activity. All these bees, all these little startups and all these ministries working together to reach the city. And at this conference that we've been doing for 3 years now in Berlin, in Europe, we bring, it's kind of like a mini Avenus Shark Tank. You know Shark Tank? We bring these startups together with some investors, and for 4 days we help these startups try to improve their businesses, their business ideas, to be able to launch them in the future. So that's basically my story. Hey, if anybody wants to come and pitch your idea, come to Berlin in 1 month or so. 2 months. 2 months. So a little short notice there. But the conclusion to me is what Jared already mentioned. Religion and business are not two separate things. They are truly one. So now, from here, let's go fast. 10 questions before starting a business. First thing is finding your purpose. This is really important. Don't just start anything, but do something that really fits your purpose. The mission focus is the basis. Everything you do should be with the mission focus in your mind. You have the three things in the middle that really determine where your purpose, where you need to search for your purpose, or where you need to search for your business idea. And that is your passion, what you love doing, your talents, what you're good at doing, and then, of course, what is it that actually generates income so that you can live off of it, and maybe even live well, so you can help others do that. Then you need to find a problem in the market. This is what we usually never do when we start a ministry, especially. We just think of an idea and we're just going to do it regardless of what the market research would say, because we don't even do market research usually. So really, based on design thinking, on finding out what are actually the needs of the customer, looking at the customer journey and how they would interact with our product, really helps to find out, you know, what that find out to learn to make things that people want, not to make people want things, make them want our things. So we have templates. I brought all these methodologies that we use at the Hive Camp event, and we can distribute those over the tables. That we use to learn, you know, the persona, and learn really the customer profile and what their needs are, and how do we really understand them better so that we can develop the product based on that. If we just do a little bit of market research, just a couple of days even of just desktop research on your market, man, there's thousands of different important information that you can find about what you're wanting to do. If we just spend just a few days, you know, ideally, you know, a little bit longer, but just a few days, we'll already answer so many questions. I have here an example of Airbnb, of what they were doing with market validation. I can make this presentation available so we can go quick afterwards. So to validate your market, to understand what people are already doing, to size your market, understand how much money is being spent on this market, on what you're wanting to present, what you're wanting to sell, and to really understand what your market share here at the end is of what you can do, what's the dent that you're going to make in this market. The other thing that you really need to figure out is how do you position yourself with the competition. So you put all the competitors on there. We should know the market by heart of what other people are offering and know where to position them on, usually on these quality and price diagram. Sometimes also other things that are very useful. Understanding what your business model is very important, to understand product market fit, and then understand what it takes to actually run that machine of a business. If we just go through this, you know, this doesn't take very long, but if you do it, you'll just be, you'll avoid making a lot of mistakes that unfortunately I made and many other people have made before these methodologies existed, or at least that we knew about them. So this is how Airbnb does it. We know how they do it. So differentiation. This is really important. What is your unique selling proposition? What makes customers want to come to you instead of to the competition? This question is a very difficult question, but this you need to answer. We need to answer. This is regardless of whether you're making CDs as a musician, you know, or whether you're making whatever it is, or a restaurant or whatever. We need to be able to answer these kind of competitive advantage, unique selling propositions questions. And then maybe the most difficult part is finding the right team. Who will be on your team? Who are the founders? Who are the people that can really help you make this thing take off? I have made the mistake of getting almost like in bed with with people that I don't really know very well. It seems like they have good qualifications, but I don't know them so well. I just kind of trust them because, you know, you trust people because you either don't know them or you know them really well, you know? And so the first section, you know, the people that you don't know very well, you trust them, but that often ends up in a real big problem. So I've had a number of things I could tell you about. Here's the MVP. You guys know what MVP means? Yes, minimum viable product. This is one of the most important principles for starting something. Don't start like what it is up there, you know, a wheel and then two wheels and then trying to build this car. But if you're wanting to get to a car, you start with a little skateboard. And so the MVP is like figuring out how to reduce what you want to do. You know, if you want to start a lifestyle center or a health center or something like that, well, don't buy a facility at the beginning, you know. No, you could just put up a website, do a program, rent it in a place, in a hotel, and just for that 1 week, and see how it goes, you know. And so you actually learn. You don't have to spend a lot of money, buy hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of property and real estate that then is tied to your leg and you can't move because you're trying to remodel a house. You know what I mean? So this is really, really important. Don't jump off of your job if you're employed right now. Don't jump off too early. Okay, I've seen this too often, and then they're stuck because they haven't found product market fit yet, and then they're stuck because they don't have any money, but they can't go back, and so then they end up in really terrible situations. So wait until you get a little bit of traction for your product so that you can actually jump off into a little boat, even if it's just a small little boat. But it's a boat. It's not just a plank in the water, because it's going to drown. It's going to drown you. And then one of the last points here is spiritual impact, the spiritual journey. This is a new methodology that we're using to teach people how to understand the spiritual ideology of the potential customers and our company beliefs, and how do we systematically bring them from their side with the common beliefs at the bottom, and then the four main ways on how we can awaken interest, spiritual interest from the customer into what we believe personally. So there's actually now a methodology for this. We didn't know how to do this in a systematic way, but I'm really glad that we have something. I've printed it out. We have these templates there. The last thing I want to share is this Big Five study, and then we're going to get into our groups, into our mentorship groups, by Bill Gross. Yeah, I don't know if you know, you might have seen the TED Talk on this. Bill studied hundreds of companies, looking at what made them successful and what made them fail. Why do companies fail? And it was very interesting what he found. They looked at the five different elements: ideas, teams, business model, funding, and timing. What do you think, which one is the most important? Team? The idea? The business model. Well, let's see. So they looked at all these startups and they rated each one of them on these different elements, how what their team was like, how their execution was, all these kind of things. They looked at them, they saw it, and here's the result. 42% of the success of an idea is actually timing. Timing of the market. Market readiness for a product like this. Why do we know YouTube today and not Z.com, even though Z.com was first? Who knows Z.com? Well, they were the YouTube, but they launched before the real internet streaming took off, you know? So then YouTube won. Does that make sense? Just because, or primarily because of timing. Then team, of course, the idea is actually not as important as we usually think it is. The execution of it really changes the potential for an idea because it can pivot. The business model, funding is actually the least important. So don't think too much about the money, although you do, of course, you need to think about it. So the last thing, the quote that I want to end with is, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, okay? So entrepreneurship is about receiving 100 punches a day, just like in cold portering. This is why we love cold porter work, okay? It prepares you for entrepreneurship, okay? Because you get punched all the time, and your ability to receive those punches and roll with the punches is what will make us eventually successful. Okay, so let's divide up into groups. We've got here, I have obviously a bunch of books that I recommend. I read books here on Blinkist. If you don't know Blinkist, it's to me my favorite app for reading and learning anything. I didn't study business, actually. I have no clue. I had no clue about business until I started obviously reading books and taking. I started taking classes on Coursera and so forth. I can go back a slide. And I started reading these summaries on Blinkist, book summaries, 15-minute summaries, and I've just suddenly I can read one book a day on average, and this is helpful, okay, to really not make too many mistakes and learn all the methodologies and Coursera and so forth. You know, you get the best courses from Stanford and from Yale and so forth for free on these topics, okay? So it's really, really helpful. It's been really helpful for me to just learn all these things this way. And practice, of course.
This media was produced by Audioverse for ASI, Adventist Layman's Services and Industries. If you would like to learn more about ASI, please visit www.asiministries.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.